Time now for Mr. Richard Roper to tell us whether or not Mr. Rogers works. And whether or not we're going to be driven nuts by the frozen. But hold on one second before we get started here. Mr. Richard Roper is brought to us by Arkadek. And
they just brought me.
Yeah.
They brought me in. Brought to you by.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, which do you want to start with? Because I have thoughts.
Okay, let's start with A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Okay. All right. So, the commercial for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. This is the Mr. Rogers movie. It's got the Tom Hanks. There appears to be a sex scene in this movie, and I just can't figure it out. There's two people lying in bed, and it's dark, and I'm not sure. That's not Mr. Rogers, is it?
No, it's not. Right. It's not. But there is a scene where two people are in bed together. They're a lovely married couple. Okay, so I think it's been about a year and a half ago we heard that Tom Hanks was going to be cast as Mr. Rogers. You started seeing the photos, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, what perfect casting. And it is. It's almost too perfect casting. It's a very strong film, and I'm going to tell you why I'm giving it 3 stars and not more than that. It's a very strange approach to the Mr. Rogers story. Fred, Mr. Rogers, is not a standard biopic. I think partially because, as it turns out, he really was pretty much what you saw on television. You know, he was a guy who was a minister. He lived in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. was married to the same woman, had 2 sons. There were no scandals. You know, he had a lot of control over his show and could be demanding in a taskmaster, but that's about it. You know, he was really this sweetheart of a guy on and off camera. So I think in order to flesh out the story, this movie's based on an Esquire profile. A famous writer by the name of Tom Juno wrote an article on Mr. Rogers. And at the time, it was an issue about American heroes. And he was a guy that did a lot of hardcore investigative pieces, and he didn't really want to do it. But he actually ended up writing a 10,000-word piece. It was supposed to be 400 words about how Mr. Rogers kind of changed his life because this journalist was going through a lot of issues, had an abusive father who was trying to reconcile with him, was having a hard time in his marriage. And a lot of this story is as much about the journalist called Lloyd Vogel in the movie and his marriage and his problems with his father as it is about Mr. Rogers. I'd say about half of the screen time is devoted to the story of the journalist, which... it's an interesting story, but I don't think what people are going to be expecting to see. I mean, I would say Tom Hanks is in the movie half the time. You know, it's a lead performance, yes. There's not a lot of insight into who he is. You just see this man who is, if anything, maddeningly frustrating to people who try to get beyond that because he's just really like that. You know, people keep saying, well, what's the difference between you and the Fred Rogers character? And he goes, it's not a character. It's me. I'm Fred Rogers. And he told, you know, when you look back at Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, it is interesting because he did take on a lot of serious issues with the use of puppets. You know, they talk about drug abuse and racial relationships and anger management and all that. So to your point, Rokan, you're asking about the couple in bed. This is the journalist and his wife are in bed.
Okay, good.
When
oh, that was close.
Wasn't the sex scene you wanted to see?
Yeah, no, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers. There's no stripping of the cardigan or anything like that.
Oh God.
But Fred Rogers is calling.
Man, those puppets show up, Mr. Speedy Delivery,
No puppets are harmed or debased or defrauded in the making of this film.
All right.
So this is Mr. Rogers. He's calling because when he meets you, he really considers you to be a friend. So he's worried about his friend, his new friend, the journalist.
Is this Andrea?
Yes.
This is Fred Rogers.
Oh, hi.
Who is it?
Lois, right here.
Oh, no, Andrea, while I have you, I just want to thank you so much for sharing Lloyd with us. Can't be easy him traveling with
Gavin at home.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I'm going to give Lloyd to you now.
Mr. Rogers knows my name.
How about that?
And the film does a nice job of capturing that, like when he goes on a publicity tour to New York. You know, he's a regular guy. He's going to ride the subway, and everyone's just looking at him on the train, all races, all ages, all genders. And finally, a couple of little girls on the train start singing, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." And then everybody joins in.
Oh, sweet.
And Fred's like, oh, thank you very much. You know, so Tom Hanks is great as Fred Rogers, but I don't think it gives us a ton of insight into, you know, there's nothing about
his youth. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
I have my own Fred Rogers story.
Okay.
Hate to make this about me. Yeah.
Did you get kicked out of the neighborhood?
No. I had him on the radio in the early 1990s.
I did not know that. Okay.
And he was doing a publicity tour for a book that they had done. And he came in to the station. He was in the green room sitting by himself. And my producer at the time was gigantic, you know, loved Mr. Grew up, you know, as a Mr. Rogers fan. And she She's like, I can't believe I just let Mr. Rogers into the building. And she was like beside herself. And then we walked in to go get him to bring him in for the interview together. And she said something to him, you know, about, oh, my favorite. What was the name? The cat? Wasn't her a cat? Something like
there's a
meow meow something.
Daniel.
He did like a meow meow. A meow meow song to her. He like he put his hands on her like on her arms, and he goes, and then in that Mr. Rogers voice, he said meow meow meow, meow whatever the hell that was. She bursts into tears.
Yeah,
and he was, and then I get him into the studio. I'm talking to him, and he was exactly Mr. Rogers, and I was thinking to myself, even back then, I thought, and this is 20 something, not quite 20 years ago, 15, 17 years ago. I was thinking how he's. There is that is him. I didn't think I was anything nefarious about it or even weird about it. I guess you know, he's a guy who's always lived in Pittsburgh. All right, hold on a second. We'll continue on. But first, Lauren, what's happening in the traffic and the skies? RoCon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN News from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Coming your way at the top of the hour. I also should tell you, in the 6 o'clock hour, Izzy Adonijé is going to be here. We're going to play News or Ruse. And a very special sit-down, talk-to, informational situation concerning our former UN ambassador, Nikki Haley. We talked to her right before the beginning of the show. We will play that for you coming up at about 6:48 tonight.
Too bad there's nothing going on that you could have talked to her about.
Yeah, it was hard to come up with topics, but you know, we did our best.
Just muscled through it.
Hey, we got the question in about Dennis Rodman. It worked out.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a big payoff on that one.
Can't wait to hear that. Yeah. That's cool.
All right, so let's get back to the Mr. Rogers film, Richard Roper.
So three stars for Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which tells the story of Fred Rogers, partially through the viewpoint of the journalist who's been assigned to profile him and is going through a lot of issues. His dad, who's played by the great Chris Cooper, had left the family when the journalist's mom was dying of cancer. Now, 15 years later, he wants to come back and reconcile with his son because he himself is sick. Son doesn't want to let go of the anger. Mr. Rogers helps him kind of work through this because Mr. Rogers, we talk about him taking on serious issues, and of course he broke the fourth wall. He talked to you, you know, when he came in, he took, you know, put on the sweater and the gym shoes.
It was really
and said,
to
you. Be my neighbor?
It was it was to us.
To
it wasn't
you.
It wasn't a presentation in front of us. But
absolutely.
All those kids
yeah, that was
PBS
kind of first. The way. Yeah, going all the way back, and then as is the use of puppets and characters like that, and the mailmen, you know, to send the messages and talk about various things.
Right,
and it is interesting too because as we mentioned, you know, that was out of a public television station in Pittsburgh because that's where Mr. Rogers lived and wanted to stay. So he was a national. It was obviously in all of the stations, but he always stayed there. So he had this kind of great fame, but then also this ordinary life. And it also touches on a very interesting part where he does reveal a little bit about his life because he had two boys, two sons.
Oh, I didn't know.
And the journalist asked him at one point, like, oh, gosh, you know, how great would it be to have Mr. Rogers as your father? But also, how much pressure is that on the sons? Because all anybody ever wants to tell them is their dad is, I wish he were my dad.
Yeah.
But he's a real dad. So, you know, the sons did. You know, there was some rebellion and some resentment there because they, for a long time, neither one of them would ever tell anybody that that's who their dad was.
They didn't want speedy delivery showing up at Thanksgiving. It's just face.
But, you know, and back in the day, we're talking about back in, like, you know, the 70s and 80s, it wasn't like it'd be on social media. So the kids could go to school and not have to tell if he came to a play or something that everyone would know. So that was kind of the tricky part.
It's a Jim Carrey show, right? That Jim Carrey, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it's a Showtime series where he's playing a Mr. Rogers-esque
character, and it darkens. It's like it's a very weird take on it. And the thing is, and the one I never really could track with that in terms of bingeable television.
I know what you mean.
That show was so dark and so weird, and it really tried to make Mr. Rogers seem, you know, inauthentic in a lot of that character.
Yeah, the Jim Carrey character that is someone he's playing, although he gets a little, and he's going through a divorce, and it's fascinating, but it's crazy stuff because at one point, he decides to start meeting some of the adults who send him fan letters because the show's been on for 20 years. And at one point, kind of enters into an affair with a young woman who had worshipped him as a child, and which is, you know, so, I mean, she's 30 years old. It's not like he's doing anything illegal, but it's very bizarre.
Right. So now what you have.
Mr. Rogers has none of that.
For
those of you playing at home. And no, he was not a sniper in Vietnam. That was always the urban legend.
Remember that people would always
say somebody asked him that in the movie. He's like, no, I wasn't.
Opie got killed in Vietnam until Happy Days.
Yeah. Then
remember,
like,
there was a period of time where everybody thought that Ron Howard was dead.
Or Eddie Haskell. That was the other one.
Yes, Eddie Haskell.
But the sniper part. Yeah,
that is one of the best SCTV episodes ever, which was the Leave It to Beaver, where Mr. Beaver was pouring gin over his cornflakes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Eddie Haskell walks in and he goes, I thought you were killed in Vietnam. All right. Okay. Let us now talk about Frozen 2. Sequels always a little bit.
Yeah, and iffy. We're talking, Mr. Rogers, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that'll do fairly decent. But obviously, the huge blockbuster, the movie that's going to make $100 million this weekend, is Frozen 2. We're 5.5 years, I believe, past the original, which made $1 billion.
Right.
And even spawned some fun little short clips. And of course, had, a million zillion little girls dressing up as Elsa and or Anna.
Including my own.
Right?
Let It Go was echoing through our house.
And Let It
more
Go,
more times
of course.
Than I would like to remember.
Yeah, I mean, it became the earworm of the mid-2010s. So Frozen 2, I'm going to tell you, it's solid. It's solid as a block of ice. There's my quote for the Blurbmeisters
out there.
Put that
on the movie poster.
It's another 3-star effort. I have to say, if you're taking the little ones there, I mean, it's a lovely story. It picks up 3 years after the events of the original Frozen. Anna and Elsa are now friends. They're best friends, sisters. But now they have to go deep into the Enchanted Woods because there's trouble afoot. And then, so some of the stuff is kind of Wizard of Oz-like, a lot of magic. And then, family strife. And then there's the romance because you've got the big galoof. What's his name? There's Olaf as the snow creature. And then you've got Sven as the reindeer. And they're all back. But this is also a very trippy film. I have to tell you, halfway through this movie, there's a straight-on parody of a 1990s hair metal band music video. Just because.
Weird.
There's also an underwater translucent horse. I believe the edibles were being passed around at some points there.
This comes right. I mean, this may be sort of their fantasia for the 21st century.
Yeah, I will say this too, though. I mean, look, there's stuff that's going to go over the heads of the little ones, and I think even over the heads of some of the grown-ups, because it's just kind of crazy. It's not as spectacular and groundbreaking as the original, because that was a brand new series of characters, but it's very good. And I will say, I saw it at the IMAX at Navy Pier downtown. If you get a chance, see it on the biggest screen possible, because the animation is just some of the most glorious, beautiful, pristine animation I've ever seen in a movie. What they do with this stuff, because you're in this kind of magical land, but then there's some grounded reality. But when the waves are lapping up against, you could just see the water and you can see every strand of hair moving and the characters, and it's hyper realistic sometimes, but it's certainly not trying to look like the Lion King or something. These are cartoon princesses, if you will, but just gorgeous. And then, of course, there are musical numbers, as we know.
Uh-oh.
Are they as good as Let It Go?
I don't think anything will ever match Let It Go, but there is this one's called Into the Unknown, which I think pretty much they said, okay, let's take Let It Go and Let It Go, go Into the Unknown. So here's a little bit of Into the Unknown, which is sure to be a big hit.
Everyone I've ever loved is here within these walls. I'm sorry, secret siren, but I'm blocking out your calls. I've had my adventure. I don't need something new. I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown. Into the unknown. Into the unknown.
So it's the same voice actors.
Idina
Menzel.
Or as John Travolta called her, Nadina Marlene Lombria. Adele Dazeem. Idina Menzel, who's a Broadway star, who's,
she's
original
terrific.
Rent. Has won all the awards. She's got that great voice. And then Kristen Bell and Josh Gad, who's done that. He's kind of the comic relief as Olaf. But the songs are very Broadway. That song, you could almost picture the auditions for the musical version of that and all the 20-year-old, wildly talented best singers in their hometowns.
Well, they want to take all that to Broadway eventually.
Yeah, but it's got that. That's where the songs kind of feel like they come from.
So that's Adele Dazeem.
Bigger Than Life, yes. they're nice. They're nice songs. There's always a little comedy.
I kind of like that one. I sort of like
that one. The visuals that go along with that are amazing, because this is the moment where Elsa's deciding that she's got to travel beyond her own kingdom and find out what's out there, find out about her origins.
Narratively, is this a good movie?
Yeah, I mean, there's some crazy, trippy stuff to kind of pad it. But for the little ones, it's basically a story. But the two sisters always got each other's backs. And then the whole idea of kind of embracing the unknown. And maybe the thing you're afraid of is because you don't understand it. The same message we get in almost every movie, you know, that any animated film, if the enemies only get to know each other, they'd learn to tolerate one another. You know, they're fighting for years and they don't know why. Because everybody always has, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's gorgeous looking. And yeah, Into the Unknown. You will definitely be singing that as you exit the theater.
You
could probably almost feel like it's in your head right now.
Yeah, I kind of do.
It's almost like you can hear it in your head right now, right?
Again, dizzy.
What she's doing is she's going into the unknown, in case you were wondering there. That's the whole theme.
Does she know where she's going?
She's going into the unknown. You could almost picture, if Glee were still on the air, that they'd already be doing a special episode tying this all together. I do like the Frozen story, and they've done some short movies. I think it would be a great, like, running series on the new Disney streaming thing. I could see the characters having all kinds of adventures. 3 stars for Frozen 2.
All right. We've got News of Ruse coming your way. Don't anybody move. News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.